Now we're going over to join Mark Finnegan in RASP, the Laneview Learning Centre, which is on the Malahide Road Industrial Estate. Good afternoon, Mark. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon, John. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you now. That's fine. Just tell us what's happening.
That's brilliant. Oh, a few people lined up here, John, to chat, so we'll jump straight into it.
Yeah, go straight into it, Mark, yeah.
Okay. Very welcome here to the official opening of RASP's new premises here in the Malahide Road Industrial Estate, just at the back of Woody's there. Anyone who knows the Malahide Road will know the industrial estate in behind the back of Woody's. And they've just had their official opening ceremony, and talking to me now is the chairman of the Board of Management, Kevin Bean. Good afternoon, Kevin. Welcome to Near FM.
Good afternoon, Mark. Thanks very much for having us.
Not at all, Kevin. A great day here, lots of excitement, lots of people around. It's been a long time coming, I'd imagine.
Well, we were in Belcamp Lane for a number of years, and when the opportunity came up to move here, we took it. One of the reasons why we wanted to move here, Mark, to be honest with you, was we wanted to have our client group integrated into a normal, if such a word exists, normal situation. Where we were in the last premises was very much up a back laneway. Mm-hmm. And it was a site that was being used for fly tipping. And we felt that sent the wrong message to our client group as to our value and our worth. So when the opportunity came up here to lease this place, we jumped on it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, because the services you're providing at RASP, maybe you tell the listeners a little bit about that if they're not familiar.
Well, basically what we're doing, it's a therapeutic rehabilitation centre for people in the general Dublin 17 area, though we're not completely restricted to that. People who are stabilisation on methadone. We've since taken on a younger group, which is the polyurethral group. And people tend to hear 19 and a half hours a week. So a lot of work happens outside of those hours as well, as you can imagine, because addiction is not something that happens within 19 hours. So there'll be various modules, and probably far too many to mention to within it, but we have modules. We've some vocational training, we've some softer skills, and certainly areas around counselling and one-to-ones and things like that. Yeah. So there's a lot of work goes on there.
Yeah, so it's kind of a rounded approach to addiction and to helping people with addiction. It's not just maybe, like we know, there's programs, a 10-step program or 12-step program, stuff like that. It's a complete rounded program to turn their lives around.
Yeah, that would be able to see, there's a certain school of thought that thinks that one half fits all. Mm-hmm. We take the approach that's an individualised health care plan. So each individual is treated individually. So there has to be collective work done, obviously. But each person is assigned to a support worker. And similarly, they would have a doctor in the background, and they would have other people from the HSE there. So it's an integrated approach. Mm-hmm. And I would say, although people here, our client group, would do collective stuff, individually they're treated as well. Because each person comes here with a set of problems that may not be similar to each other.
Yeah.
So we look at each person as an individual.
Yeah. And, you know, the individuals who do come here and you take them on, how do they get to come in? I'm assuming they don't just knock on the door and say, help me.
It's by referrals. So yeah. You've got the methadone clinic in Belcamp, local doctors, HSC, probation, mm-hmm. and by word of mouth. To be quite honest with you, we're a community-based project. All of the board of management are all voluntary. And we all live in the area. As I say, initially it was set up as a response to the addiction. Now, we're talking in terms of the time when you had people on the streets marching and so forth. But we took the people who were with RASP took a view, the way to do was to be more constructive.
Yeah, because people with addiction don't want to be marginalised, they don't want to be victimised, you know, they don't want to be feeling like they're being shunned by society. What they need is the arm of society wrapped around them to give them the help that they need.
Well, it was very notable from the Minister's speech this morning here, Aon O'Riordan, he mentioned that too, that his preferred choice was to have it move from criminality to a more medical role. And that would be our viewpoint as well. And we also believe that where we house ourselves is important. We're here in the middle of an industrial cluster. We are good neighbours with the people that are there. The people that we cohabitate with, for want of a better phrase, know what our business is. And we don't see ourselves as being any less a customer to the landlord as they are. So we come here on equal footing for everybody, and we want our clients to be treated the same. So our clients fundamentally, although they're here for rehabilitation, they're also part-time employees, because CEE gives them that.
Yeah.
So they're coming to work. So they're coming into an industrial unit, they're coming to a building that's functional, and they're integrating with various other workers in the general vicinity. Whereas when we were on Belcamp Lane, we were going up a street that was used primarily for fly tipping. And that was the image that created.
Yes.
So hence the reason we're delighted to move here. As I said, we moved here nearly a year ago, but it's taken us that long because of a number of reasons. Not, I have to say, our landlord was instrumental in having the building off the stage it is. But very, very short of funding. We as did other voluntary organisations, were very, very much hit by the recession and the cutbacks. And our primary funders are Department of Education and Department of Social Protection. Social Protection looks after us with regards to CE funding and so forth. But Department of Education primarily funds us for rent and salary for a manager. But we could absolutely do more. And we spoke to the Minister this morning, and he's happy to meet us again in the very near future. So we're hopeful in that position as well.
Well, as we all heard yesterday in the budget speech, and what was everything's great. There's loads of money for everybody, so hopefully that's going to be something that the minister can get on kind of as a matter of urgency for you.
Well, yes, but I don't know the details of the budget in its entirety. It certainly seems that people who are back in work may benefit somewhat from it. We're hoping that these benefits might trickle down to the voluntary sector. As just for the listeners' information, we're a fully incorporated limited company, and we also have charitable status. So, so if anybody feels like they have a lot of some money, we're very happy to take it.
Absolutely. Well, Kevin, listen, thanks for taking the time to talk to us this morning, and you know, we wish you every success. It's a magnificent building. It's a lovely environment here, as you say. I didn't see our previous offices, but just by the picture you drew of it, it doesn't sound like it was too inviting. But this is a wonderful place, nice and calm, and rooms we have here. And we wish you every success.
Thanks very much. And it's just to finish off, and this is something that's been done, and as a mark of respect for those who live in the community and who unfortunately suffered addiction in the community, we want to have a place for this for them. Thank you.
Brilliant, Kevin. Thanks very much. I'm going to talk now to Pamela Clark. Good morning, Pamela. Oh, good afternoon it is now. Welcome to Near FM, Pamela. What's your role here at RASP?
I'm a participant.
Okay, just... good morning, Kevin. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm a participant here at RASP. I'm here over a year, and I've another 2 years gone, but when I first started here, I was on heroin. But the RASP and the programme they have, I'm clean over a year now. It's helped me an awful lot.
Yeah, and, you know, taking those four steps, I mean, when you get to the point where you need and you want to reach out to somebody for the help that you need, how difficult was it taking the four steps?
It was very difficult, but I got referred here from a doctor, and I just knew I needed help. But they're after making me have these things now where I know I'm good at art, and it's very therapeutic. There's other offices, services out there that we run from here. It's just been amazing. It's helped me so much coming here.
Yeah, because when you found out about RASP and you were referred here, did you know about this organisation before you were referred here, or had you just heard of a word of mouth, or was it just something that other people talked about?
Yeah, I did hear like the horror stories, oh, you don't go in there and all. But it was totally different when I actually stepped through the door. It's like a home away from home. It's very good to people. You can trust them. It's lovely, actually, to have friends.
Yeah. And once you got in then and you got into, because, you know, taking those steps is brave. You know, it takes a lot of courage to take those steps. Once you got in here, how did you find the environment?
The staff and people, it was amazing. They made me feel at home. It wasn't a tension or anything like that. It's just amazing. It really was.
Yeah. And you say now you're a year in now, and how has your life changed?
It's just amazing the way my life's done. It's 260. I'm just clean now after drugs. I'm planning on going to college for my art, and my kids, I have all my kids back now. It's great.
Yeah. And you know that, as you say, thanks to the help you got here in RASP, you were able to kind of achieve those goals. That was stuff, I suppose, that you always felt was in you, but maybe the opportunity never presented itself. You know, the difference to your life, you know, to be able to express yourself in that way, as you say, your art is so important to you. To have the opportunity to do that, it must have been so wonderful.
Oh, it was. It's amazing. And because I didn't finish schooling or stuff like that, it's just, it does, it helps you an awful lot. It really does coming here.
Yeah. So you're stuck into the programme now, enjoying it, enjoying life, and you've another 2 years to go here, you say, and you're looking forward then to hopefully going to college, and the future's bright, and, you know, hopefully in the coming years, you know, get out there, get a job. Maybe we'll see our artwork getting displayed in here, and you might be, you never know, making a few bucks.
Yeah, I'd like to actually walk and stay in the, here, because I'd like to walk the way the GAs walk and help other people that's helped me.
Yeah, you know, because I suppose organisations like this walk, and that people who are success stories have come through the programme, have changed their lives around. That's the biggest advertisement you can give from an organisation like this to other people who may be looking for help, is that, you know, I did it, you can do it.
Yeah, that's it, because when I did start in RASP, I never heard of people coming off methadone. I just heard horror stories, they're on the clinic for years and stuff like that. And why I actually joined RASP was because I knew a fella that was here, and he was clean off methadone for 5 years. So I started here and clean since then.
Well, congratulations. I have to say, you look, I know people on the radio can't see, but you look fantastic. Congratulations to you, and the best of luck with your endeavours in the future. And sure, you know, hopefully we'll see you here for many years to come.
Yeah. As well, thanks very much for having me.
You're very welcome. That was Pamela Clark, who's one of the who avails of the services here at RASP. I'm going to turn now to another gentleman I have here, is Larry Bourne. Good afternoon, Larry. How are you?
Good afternoon.
Larry, what's your role here at RASP?
I'm a director of RASP. I'm on the board, and we would look after the management issues and plan strategy for the future and look for funding and that sort of thing for the project. That's our main role.
Yeah.
Would be trying to get proper funding, which is,
yeah,
it's at an all-time low with all community projects at the moment, but it's something that's ongoing.
Yeah. Kevin mentioned when we were speaking to him earlier, you know, that, as you said, the recession hit all kind of charitable organisations hard, and it's difficult to get that funding. How much manpower and hours and time is it? A constant 24/7 making phone calls, lobbying ministers, and whatever other areas you have to go into to try and get any sort of funding to keep the programme going?
It would be. As I said, it's an ongoing issue, so you'd have somebody working on it all the time. Now, I'm not saying day and night, but there would be a constant approach towards funding. The management would do it. We also have a full-time manager in the project who was very good at raising finance, and he would do it on a daily basis. So it's something that you have to keep in mind all the time.
Yeah, you know, and the competition out there, I suppose, from all kinds of charitable organisations, everybody's looking for a few bob here and a few bob there, so you've got that constant competition with other. And the other side of it, of course, is you don't want to be taken away from one to give it to another, and so that's always a difficult one as well.
It is, but we do try to cooperate with other projects when it comes to funding, and things that are common to all projects in the area would be funding. So everybody's looking for a few extra bob. We would cooperate with other projects when need be and when the opportunity arises. But normally you're rowing your own boat, sort of, for most of the time.
Yeah.
But it's ongoing,
And with regards to fundraising, you know, local fundraising or charitable events or whatever, do you have many of them in the year, or, you know, is it something that you rely on urgently to get the extra few bob that you can't get anywhere else?
We would carry out local fundraising. It's something that's common to all projects, but mainly we concentrate on trying to get major funding. Like, you can manage day to day with small funding and that sort of thing, but you do need major funding to run mainstream funding.
Yeah.
So we concentrate on the state agencies, whether it's Department of Health, Social Protection, any of the departments that would have funding that we could go after, we'd go after at that level.
Yeah. Well, there was a fine selection of TDs and councillors and all here this morning, and you all very supportive of what you're trying to do here. You know, in the light, as I said it to Kevin earlier on, in the light of yesterday's budget and, you know, the Minister for Finance telling us that we're through the recession, are you hopeful that maybe more funding will become available to you in the coming years and months?
I'm glad to hear we're through the recession because we were cut drastically as a result of the recession. So we have set up a meeting. Well, the Minister has indicated that he will need us in the near future. Part of that will be to put to him a restructuring of the funding on the project because we have lost up to a third of our funding in the last 4 to 5 years.
Yeah. And the last thing I wanted to ask you, I'm just thinking in mind, you know, we're a couple of months away from an election. When you're constantly looking for funding and stuff like that, we don't know what way an election go, but do you have to kind of strategize if there's a change of government and you have to maybe start all over again, getting to know new ministers and maybe start the whole process again? Does that concern you?
It does, in a way. But it's part of the overall scene when it comes to community projects. We're always here. Governments will change.
Yeah.
So it means if a government changes, it does mean starting again and getting to know the relevant ministers and relevant people within the government until you can set up some kind of a rapport with when it comes to funding.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Larry, look, we wish you the best of luck, and hopefully in the future, you know, just looking around this building, it's a magnificent building the way it's set up, and, you know, it would be an awful shame if, you know, government and the agencies that you rely on let us down. Hopefully they won't, because it's an absolutely magnificent building you have here.
Oh yeah, we're more optimistic today than we were yesterday. Having met with the minister, he has indicated that he will speak to us, and the main purpose of that meeting will be to try and access funding for the future.
Well, Larry, we wish you the best of luck. Thanks very much for talking to us this morning on Near FM.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, my next guest now is Teresa, and I'm going to get your name wrong again, Teresa, haven't I? It's Teresa Moracchio. I remember now, Moracchio, I remember getting that wrong. Teresa, what's your role here, Ross?
I'm the Assistant General Manager and the CEO Supervisor here.
Yeah. To have a morning like this, opening these new offices officially, I know you've been here a while, it must be a huge sense of achievement.
It's a brilliant feeling. It really is nice. And I think the main thing about it is getting all the different community projects to come and celebrate with us, because we all work hard together, and the local drugs task force and other, and even the politicians and the councillors coming to visit us and to see their hard work that centres like ourselves do. So,
yeah. But I wanted to ask you, with regards to the community and the people who come and avail of the services you provide here, what kind of feedback do you get from the community in general? I mean, I know you're predominantly Dublin 17 is predominantly your area. And in the absence of probably a lot of maybe state-funded services and addictions, we know all of these services are usually lacking in facilities, and what kind of feedback do you get from the public and the community for the services you're providing here?
It's usually very positive feedback. I think, as the Minister said in a speech earlier, that there's no family in Ireland that doesn't have someone or know someone who is kind of trying to recover from an addiction. So I think it touches the hearts of nearly every family in Ireland. So we do get a lot of positive feedback and support for the work we're doing, because addiction is a challenging issue.
Yeah. I mean, looking at, you have a very varied programme here, as you say. I mean, there's aftercare programmes, community detox, special category community, rehabilitation and treatment and stuff like that. But I would imagine it's a constant programme of work, looking to see what other programmes you can bring in that will, you know, help the service grow.
And I think it's not really about the service going as such, it's about addressing the needs of the community in relation to addiction.
Yeah.
So I suppose the community in addiction, I suppose the trend now, a lot of times, I said before, was in cannabis among the younger people. So we've started a cannabis and polydrug use program for 18 to 24 year olds.
Yeah.
There's a huge problem in the area. And so you just kind of adapt to whatever addiction people are suffering from and try and kind of help and support them.
Yeah, because that was what I was going a long way around again, yeah. Which is sorry about that. You know, maybe 10, 15 years ago it was cocaine. Heroin is always there. But as you say, cannabis seems to be a thing now that lots of kids think is maybe harmless. We'll have a go with this. It's only a bit of crack and everything else. But it can seriously get out of hand very quickly.
Yeah, and it's, I suppose, in relation also to drug death, the effect on your mental health. There's been incidents of people having cannabis psychosis episodes and ending up in hospital over the recovery period. So the drug itself is kind of stronger than what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose it's not just whatever kind of the substance you're using. I suppose addiction is the behaviour and trying to change the behaviour and recognising that you have a problem and kind of looking for the support.
We're just going to finish up here with Pat Manager, who's the general manager here at RASP. Pat, a great morning.
Thanks very much. It's very good of you to come, Mark. It's very special that you've turned up and you've been a good supporter of the community and particularly community drugs program. I appreciate it. You're very open-minded and you're definitely serving the community by being here today. Thank you.
Not at all. It's our pleasure, Pat. A long road to this morning, but worth it in the end, yeah?
Well worth it in the end. We've been, I suppose, 9 years on the go, and they were spent in Belcamp Lane. And Belcamp Lane, as you know, is a very challenging environment. Now, I have to say, in fairness, our landlord has done some work on it since, and it does look better than what it did, but very challenging conditions to do such important work. You know, it's sensitive work, you know, and I think, as I mentioned earlier on, you know, where you're treating people, you know, and the building you're using reflects on what you think of them. Like they're walking out of an old shack or whatever in the end of a lane, you know, and there's drug pushers in that lane anyway, and there's behavioural issues going on, antisocial issues. Although we kept a tight ship and it worked very well, but it was very challenging for participants. I noticed a difference in their self-esteem by coming here, and not only in their self-esteem, but in the whole general staff's self-esteem by being in a building that reflects their worth.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as we say, it is an absolutely magnificent building, and it's very inviting, it's very homely, it's very comfortable. So hopefully for many, many years to come, it's going to be serving the community and continuing to provide the wonderful services you do. Just before I let you go, Pat, if anybody's listening in and they wanted to make contact with RASP, what did he do?
They can phone us here. I don't have a phone number. We just changed the phone number. Give me that over. I apologise for not
having a brand new phone number.
It's a brand new phone number. I used the phone number. It's 877-4184. And somebody will get back to you. And if it's only a question or some information you like around drug use, or maybe you're thinking of maybe perhaps being involved with some of the programs here, you're very welcome and you'll get a welcome on the telephone.
That's brilliant, Pat. Listen, thanks very much. Congratulations to you and everybody here for the wonderful success and the wonderful work you do for the whole community. It's much appreciated, I know, and we wish you continued success for many years to come. John, that's everybody we've had lined up now here for a chat. I'm going to hand back over to you in the studio. I think we're going to go down and get a cup of tea, Pat, will we?
Yeah, there's some food there as well. Apparently, it arrived late, so there's not as many down there as there was, so... Happy days.
We might bring you back a goodie bag, John.
Yeah,
Listen, take care.
Bring you back an old cake or something there, Mark.
We will indeed, John. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much for that. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.